In our studies on Sunday afternoon, we're going through the our articles of faith or our doctrinal statement. And we have progressed in that statement to number 6, the eternal purpose of God. Keeping in mind, these are things that we believe, and they are things that we believe the Scriptures teach, and what we believe is not limited to these things, for we believe the whole Word of God. We seek to know it, to understand it, and we seek to practice it. But these are things that are most assuredly believed among the Lord's churches. That is, churches of like faith and practice, and are things that set us apart from other so-called organizations and religions. The eternal purpose of God. What do we mean by the eternal purpose of God? Well, simply stated, it is God's purpose. It is God's decree that was purposed or decreed before the foundations of the world. Before he created anything, it was purposed, it was decreed in eternity. God is eternal. God is. God was. God always has been. He didn't have a beginning to his existence. He always has been. If that were not so, he would not be God. But he has always existed. And this is some of what we believe, that God has decreed before he began to work in creation, in creating anything. And this is what we say concerning it. We believe that election is the eternal, personal, unconditional purpose of God, according to which he graciously regenerates, sanctifies, and saves lost sinners. We have looked at all of that statement. We have given scriptures for all of that statement. We go on to say that being perfectly constant with the free agency of man, that is in salvation, the free agency of man, it comprehends all the means in connection with the end, that it is a most glorious display of God's sovereign goodness, being infinitely free, wise, holy, and unchangeable. It utterly excludes boasting. We've covered that of just recently. It utterly excludes boasting. And last week, it promotes humility. And this week, not only does it promote humility, but it promotes love. It promotes, lost my spot. It utterly excludes boasting, promotes humility. Love, prayer, trust in God, and active imitation of His mercy. It encourages the use of means in the highest degree, that it may be as ascertained by its effects in all who truly believe the gospel. That it is the foundation of Christian assurance, and that to ascertain it with regard to ourselves demands and deserves the utmost diligence on our part. As you can see, where we're at presently with humility, have ended, completed humility, and now today we'll be looking at it promotes love. We've got a long ways to go before we complete this paragraph concerning the eternal purpose of God, but it is much needed. The eternal purpose of God, election, is most difficult because there are so many who do not ascertain it. They do not understand it. They have a hard time believing it because it goes against human thought and ideas. Of course it goes against us. We are human. What does that say? It says God is our creator. We had a beginning. And having a beginning, this physical life, in regards to this physical life, and thus in regards to our life, which ends up being eternal. How some people might get in arms. Well, the unsaved don't have eternal. They don't have eternal life. But the moment they were created, they became an eternal being. And man is going to spend eternity in one of two places. Heaven, or the term that we're most familiar with, hell, or the lake of fire. There's no in-between. There is no cessation. When you die, that's the it, as some believe. When you die, that's the end of things. In other words, you're no different than the beast. You're no different than the animals. When they die, that's it. They don't have an eternal being. But man was created with an eternal being. And we live this physical life, and it is appointed unto every man once to die. And after this, the judgment. We have an appointment, and that appointment is death. And we know not when that appointment is to take place. You just look around you. You look around the world today, and there are those of all ages that are dying. There are newborn babes that die. It is appointed unto them once to die. There are young children that die. There are teenagers that die. There are adults of all ages that die. And so we have an appointment unto death. And then is eternity. And then is the judgment, where you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you in Him? Is He in you? If He is, if you're His, then you go to spend eternity with Him. If you're not, you didn't want anything to do with Him. You didn't want to live your life according to His precepts, according to His commands. You're going to die. And you're going to hear Him pass the judgment of eternal damnation in the lake of fire, brimstone. So man misunderstands the eternal purpose of God, that God is eternal. He doesn't have a beginning to His existence as we do. He had no beginning. He has no end. And all men, by the fact that they are sinners, Romans 3:23, for all sin come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. We're all sinners. By virtue of the fact that we are all sinners, we're all condemned. We're condemned in our sin. And God, when He knew us in eternity, that is His foreknowledge, He knew me intimately. He knew a people intimately. There were those that He loved, of those sinners, condemned. Not condemned by Him, condemned by their sin. John chapter 3 and verse 19. Condemned by their sin. God loved them intimately. Because He loved them, He chose them. He elected them and ordained them to eternal life. He predetermined that they should have eternal life. And we read in Scripture, those that were ordained unto eternal life believed. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have faith in His shed blood and trust Him for the saving of their soul. This proper understanding of election, of God's eternal purpose to save some those that he loved, those that he foreknew, promotes within us humility. First of all, because what that says, God's eternal purpose, that which he purposed, that which he decreed, and he chose, and he ordained, and he called, and he saved, regenerated, sanctified. Where do you see man in that? Where do you see that we did anything? We didn't do a thing. We couldn't do anything. Scripture attests to the fact that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and we followed the desires and the passions of our heart. That's what we loved. John chapter 3, in verse 19, states that light came into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. And why does he love the darkness? Why does he love the deeds of the world and not the light, the Lord Jesus Christ? Because his deeds, his works are evil. They're wicked. And so, when we grasp this and we understand this, it promotes within me, it should promote within you that are saved, with you that are in the Lord Jesus Christ, it should promote humility. We fall before him. We yield to him. We submit to him. He's the reason that we have eternal life and not eternal damnation. And so we bow humbly before him. And we looked at a host of scriptures last week. This week we see that it also promotes love. We're not talking about the love of this world, what is common to man and what man considers love. We're talking about agape love. We're talking about divine love, a love that sacrifices self. It sacrifices the desires and passions of this flesh, which are ungodly, which are sinful. Promotes love. A proper understanding of God's election and salvation. We see, we perceive, we understand that he so loved us. And in so loving us, he sent his son. He gave his son that whosoever believeth in him. There again, I invite you to study the tense of that verb, believeth, E-T-H, and all the perversions of the word of God, perversions of it, that's exactly what they are, because they're a downplaying on the word of God. But that E-T-H, which is in the King James and is in the original, denotes an ever-present continual tense. We believed unto the saving of our souls, and we continued to believe, and we continued to believe, and we continued to believe, and we shall continue to believe until this body is placed in the grave and we are united with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. That is a perseverance in believing. He so loved me and has done all, everything necessary to procure my salvation, to procure a right standing before Him. Without Him, I have and you have no right standing before God. We stand before Him as sinners condemned or sinners redeemed. And Romans chapter 4 tells us, as redeemed sinners, believing in God, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is imputed to us, it is given to our account for righteousness. Not our righteousness, but God's righteousness. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is placed to my account. So when I stand before Him, He sees His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves me, and He so loved me, and has done it all. How can that not excite me? How can that not excite you? If you're in Christ, if you're saved, if you're redeemed, if you've experienced and had the love of God for you manifested to you, how can that not excite you? How can that not advance our love for Him? How can that not advance our love for those whom He's created? Our fellow man. Yes, it ought to increase, advance, promote. First of all, our love for God, our love towards God. And secondly, our love towards our fellow man. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, in chapter 20. And we'll begin reading with verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Notice, God did it. Which is a picture of God loving us and bringing us out of the world. We're no longer, we that are in Christ Jesus are no longer of the world, but He has chosen us out of the world. John chapter 15 tells us. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You see what our ransom, what our redemption demands of us? That we have no other God but Him. Not self, not mom, not dad, not son, not daughter, not grandchildren, and not your pet Rover, or your cat Felix. I hear some snickers, but you know that's a real thing. There are people that love their pets more than they love people. More than they love God. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. If you have any other God but God, if you make any image and bow yourself down to that, worship that image, put it above God, of more importance than God. It is iniquity. It is sin, he said in the verse that we just read. And he's jealous about that. For his name's sake. He says, if you do those things, those that do such things hate me. You know, isn't that the last two words of verse 5? Of them that hate me. Now look at verse 6. And showing mercy. That's my God. He's the Lord my God. He has showed me great mercy. And he continues to show great mercy upon this sinner. Day after day. Time and again. He's merciful. Me and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. Those that love him. Those that really love him will not have any other gods before them. They'll not make any graven images. They'll not worship them. They will not put them above God. They'll not hate him. They'll do not such iniquity. Go on. They'll not take his name in vain. That is even to use, pardon me, let me use the letters, OMG. People that you do that, they're taking the name of the Lord, their God, in vain. They're not giving it its proper due, its proper reference. To them, that's just a byphrase, just a byword. Well, you know, I was just saying. We're not to do that with God. That love me, and those that love me keep my commandments. And those that truly love him and demonstrate that they truly love him by obeying his commandments, by keeping his commandments, he is merciful to. He shows mercy to them. Turn with me to Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And God said this to the fathers, that came out of Egypt at Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20, what we read to you there in Exodus chapter 20, was said to the fathers that came out of Egypt to Mount Sinai. And this was God's commandments to them, and he entered into a covenant relationship with them. Now in Deuteronomy, we're to the children. And he says the same words to them in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 as he said to them in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and the reading that we read there. Only he puts it this way, which opens our understanding even more. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently. Listen, those that love God, love him supremely. Those that love the Lord supremely. He is their God. They have no other God before them. They make no image. They don't put anything ahead of him. They strive to exalt him, put him first, give him first place in their life and all that they do. And they strive to obey his commands, to do his will. They love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. In other words, we could say, basically, with all that is within them. They are immersed in the love of God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. It didn't stop with them that love him. You manifest that you love him by keeping his commandments. And he's faithful to all generations of those people that will do that. They obey his commandments because they love the Lord. Therefore, Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14, the book of John chapter 14 and verse 15, he said, if you love me, manifest it. Show it. If you love me, keep my commandment, keep my word. Do it. Obey it. Jump down to verse 21. Look what he says here. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he that has the word of God, sees the word of God, knows the word of God, and obeys it. He it is that loveth me. Again, I continue to point out the tense of the verb. The TH on the end tells us that it's an ever-present continuation. You loved him, You love him today, and you continue to love him. And you continue to manifest that by being obedient unto his commandments. Keepeth them. Obedience. Obeyed yesterday, obeyed today, and obeyed tomorrow. And he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying, those that love me, truly love me, obey me, and by obeying me and loving me, they are manifesting that my Father, God, the Father, loves them, and I love them. And I gave my life for them. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. What a manifestation of God's love. And we manifest that God loved us and loves us. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us, gave his life for us. And we manifest that through love and obedience to him. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Because he loved us, he sent his son to come and to appease. That's the word propitiation. Appease the wrath of God against sin. He who knew no sin, he who did no sin, came, the perfect Lamb of God. And appeased the wrath of God by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. His resurrection from the grave was proof was that the Father was satisfied with the offering that the Son made. We didn't love him. God loved us. God knew before the foundation of the world, before he created us, the moment we were in his mind, that we were sinners, condemned, sinners, loving our sin, and that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and that we had no hope. And he loved some of us. Some of us in that condition, he loved and purposed to send his son to pay our sin debt, to be our sacrifice for sin, that we might live, that we might be saved. Verse 19 says, of that fourth chapter says, we love him. Because he first loved us. He first loved me. And he demonstrated that love, manifested that love by sending his son to die. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, we're told the fruit of the Spirit. to those that are in Christ Jesus. They have the Spirit of God. They have the Spirit of God leading them, guiding them, and directing them. And the fruit of the Spirit is, notice the first one, Galatians 5:22, love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. We're led by the Spirit of God, and we're led into love. Oh, how can we not love Him? How can we not have a deeper, once we come to a greater understanding of His eternal purpose and election, and electing us? That it was in eternity. Romans 9, he said concerning Jacob and Esau, who were not yet born. But God chose Jacob to love. Why? That the purpose of God according to election might stand. And Esau have I hated, despised. He's a wicked sinner. Yes, Jacob was a wicked sinner. I'm a wicked sinner. It's amazing, it's surprising that God would love any of us. And choose any of us to be recipients of eternal life in Christ Jesus. But He did, based upon His love and His sovereign choice of choosing those that He loved. And because we have a greater love, because we have a great love for Him, we have a great love for one another. Isn't that what He told us in the book of Matthew in chapter 22, verses 36 to 39? When the lawyer, the young lawyer, came to Him seeking to trip Him up, to tempt Him, He says, Master, what is the first and great commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Not might in the New Testament, but mind. Same implication with all that's within you. And He said, and the second is namely like unto it. Love thy neighbor, your fellow man, as yourself. He that loves God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, loves God supremely, will love his fellow man. The two go hand in hand. The two tables, written in stone, but not written in stone any longer, written upon my heart, written upon your heart, if you're in Christ Jesus, is love the Lord your God supremely, and you love the Lord your God, you'll love others as well. Jesus told His 11 apostles in John chapter 13 and verse 34. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. Yes, it was the 11. If you read a few verses up, you see Judas left. Judas was dismissed from the assembly. Judas went out to complete the transaction and to point out Jesus Christ to them. He was gone. And He says to the 11, He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. as he has loved us. How did he love us? He gave his life. It was self-sacrificing. Agape love is self-sacrificing. Agape love doesn't care about me. Agape love cares about others. It sacrifices this man for the good and the welfare and the benefit of others. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see, he is still talking to the same 11 that he was there in the 13th chapter in verse 34. Still talking to the same 11. He wants them to get this. He wants them to understand it. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 17, he says this: these things I command you, that you love one another. Again, he wanted them to get it. He wants us to get it. If you're the Lord's, as he loved us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. How do you obey the truth? Through repentance and faith. You obey the gospel. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You repent of your sins toward God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, undisguised, not hypocritical love of the brethren. See, it's just something that is commonplace with the child of God. They love the brethren, not just brothers and sisters in Christ, but brothers in the flesh, fellow man. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently poured out, stretched out. The thought is beyond your desires and beyond your pleasures, seeking to the good of them before you. 1 John chapter 4, back there again. 1 John chapter 4. This time, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, as was manifested in verse 10, he loved us, not we loving him, but he loved us and manifested that love and sending his son to die for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another in the same manner, in the same way as God loved us. Giving of ourselves, giving our all, because we love God. for the good, for the best good of our fellow man. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, everyone that loveth God, God's the begetter. Everyone that loves God, him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, everyone that God begets, this is talking about the spiritual now. They have spiritual life. They have life in Christ Jesus. We love them. Met a dear brother and sister this morning. They were strangers when they walked into our assembly, but finding that we have a common bond in Christ Jesus, we now have a kindred spirit, love for them. By this we know, by what we just read in verse 1, by this we know that we love the children of God, the begotten of God, when we love God. And that's it? That's the end of that verse? No, when we love God and keep his commandments, obey his word. You see, our obedience is a manifestation of our love for God. Not only is it a manifestation of our love for God, but it's a manifestation of our love for those whom he has begotten, those who are brothers and sisters in Christ, who are the children of God. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, they are not burdensome, they're not a chore, but they are a delight to the child of God that obeys. I have met many folks, many of individuals who say they love God, but for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. They do not keep his command. They do not obey his word. But oh yeah, they know God. They love God. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking for his return, soon return. But you wouldn't know it by the life they live. They don't obey the word of God. They can quote you scripture and make it fit their theology, but they have no obedience to the word of God. It doesn't rule in their heart and mind. You see how a proper understanding of God being eternal and purposing in eternity, our salvation, my salvation. He did it all. I could do nothing without him, without his working, without his moving. I'm condemned. And I would go to the lake of fire. But he did it. He did it because he loved me. And that I might live. And how can I not love him supremely? And how can I not love those that he has created and entrusted me with the gospel to deliver it to them? to those that know not him. Well, we got to quit there today. Next week, we'll go on.